Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Friday. Congratulations. This is the 22nd of January, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Security Friday. We've got more stuff to talk about.
Believe it or not. Yeah, good news, bad news. Today is a Security Friday episode, kids. And I do sort of feel like, as we always say, like, I think I bring this up occasionally, like, we look forward to the episode where it's like, well, we were going to do Security Friday, but we got nothing. So we're just going to talk about WandaVision for 20 minutes or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Before we continue, I do want to give a shout out to Jacob, who emailed us after the Watch episode. And I got to talking yesterday with Dave about headphones and didn't get a chance to bring it up at the end of yesterday's show. So, Jacob, I apologize. Jacob wrote in with a follow-up phone tip. If you are using theater mode or cinema mode, depending where you are, and you adjust the brightness with the digital crown, like we were talking about with Charlotte earlier this week. If you do that, then you can continue to interact with your watch at that dim level until the screen goes black again. So that's sort of a follow-on tip, is you can make it real dim in whatever situation you're, like, you're in a meeting and you need to, you know, cover it up because the lighting's dim or something. If you're using that, you can adjust that brightness and it'll stay at that brightness. So if you need to tap back a quick message or, you know, check something on your watch, you can do that and it'll stay low light until you're done with it and cover it up with your hand, which will send it black, and then it'll reset. So FYI. Okay. And I thought that was that was a thing I didn't realize, which is a whole bunch of where the show came from on Wednesday was like, oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I think that's a really cool tip, and I hope people can actually make use of it in the future, aka maybe someday we'll be able to be in theaters again.
Going to the cinema, yes. I think last night when I was recording an episode of The After Show, we were talking about, remember airplanes? So, yeah, same sort of thing. I'm optimistic that that will come in handy, not just when you are watching on your couch and your screen lights up every time you reach for popcorn, which is where cinema mode came from in the first place. And I'm really glad it exists. But anyway, on with Security Friday, we have a small update about we've got a little old business, as sad as that sounds. We've got some old business at the top of the show. You may have heard some things about the SolarWinds hack, and we've gotten more information on that front.
Yes. So just as a brief update, the SolarWinds attack, a lot of people are calling it, this is the largest of attack of its kind, and it infected a lot of U.S. government agencies because it originated with this government contractor called SolarWinds. So they sell this networking software called Orion, and it's just a tool to help businesses manage some of their IT software. And this software is what got infected. And there were some government officials that, after a bunch of investigation, they publicly said, we believe this is from a Russian hacking team known as APT-29, a.k.a. Cozy Bear.
Okay.
And according to this article that I wrote up several weeks ago, they believe it has infiltrated as many as 18,000 companies. So, like I said, this is the largest of its kind, people believe.
By a lot. Like, that's the thing. Part of my day job is enterprise IT, and so this is the kind of stuff that, you know, these kinds of pieces of software is stuff I deal with all the time. So this is like an order of magnitude, or possibly two, larger than anything else sort of this nature. So it's surprising how far this all spread. But so if you remember that's part of the story. And now what we have is an update from someone else who possibly was involved, I believe.
Yeah, so ever since then, we've been getting updates slowly over the weeks about, you know, the latest company that has been affected by this. Mm-hmm. So this latest company, thankfully, it's not really a huge update because yeah. This is by Malwarebytes, if mm-hmm. you've ever heard that name. They are a pretty popular anti-malware, antivirus security tool you can download. Mm-hmm. And the CEO, when did I publish this? On January 19th, so just several days ago. So they believe they have been affected by SolarWinds. And according to this quote, they say, after an extensive investigation, we determined the attacker only gained access to a limited subset of internal company emails, and we found no evidence of unauthorized access or compromise in any of our internal on-premises and production environments. So to me, it kind of sounds like this really only affected their internal network and not really any of their outward products, like the yeah. Malwarebytes tool you can download.
Right. Which is probably would have been the target. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's not really a huge update, but still important just to have knowledge of this.
Yeah. And it's more about like sort of their customer internal information sorts of things, and not necessarily like it has nothing to do with the efficacy of Malwarebytes, which is the part that I think a lot of people were worried about. So I'm glad that's not what happened. That's the bit of that we have. And with that, now we have another small update on another thing that we talked about before, and that was Google's privacy labels.
Yeah, so as everyone has probably known by now, one of the changes in iOS 14 is that it introduces privacy labels for apps on the App Store. Mm-hmm. So whenever you go to an app page, you can scroll down and see some of the information that these developers say their app, like the kind of data their app collects or shares with third parties.
And how much is tied to you, right? Like identifiable data versus, I don't remember what the exact wording is off the top of my head, but like there's data that can be tied to you that they share with third parties, and there's data that can't be tied to you that's shared with third parties.
Yes. And as we joked, Facebook pretty much selected a select all button when they did their updates.
Option click. We just checked everything. Yeah.
Now, I don't remember when this first came out. I think it was earlier this month. But, you know, there was some, I think the first story was from Fast Company, mm-hmm. where they were saying, hey, something we've noticed is that these privacy labels came out in, I think, December 8th.
Yeah.
And we noticed that Google, the last time Google updated their apps was on December 7th. So they were asking, is there a connection? Mm-hmm. And in my first commentary as a link teaser, I said, you know, I want to give Google the benefit of the doubt because we just got over the holidays. And so, you know, everyone is on break. I personally don't really expect them to be updating their apps in the meantime.
Yeah.
However, my new link teaser, I think it was 905 Mac or uh-huh. Mac Rumors. And they've noticed that. So Google still hasn't updated their privacy labels. And I think they did. They gave a quote to someone that said, thanks for catching this. We're actually working on this. We're going to update it in a week or so, something like that.
Okay.
Well, it's been past that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to I could see like needing a week. I mean, Google is a massive company, which is part of an entire company full of massive companies. Right.
Yeah.
And so I could see like needing to review things with a legal department or, you know, run through some engineering to make sure that all of the stuff that needs to happen, you know, or that they're not lying to Apple, basically, right? Like, we want to make sure that everything that we put in this is correct. I can totally see that being the case. But as was mentioned before, like, I know a number of people who have filled this out already for their own apps, and they were like, it's literally a screen with some checkboxes. Like, you don't have to, it's not a high brain power thing to actually do the thing to submit the update for the privacy label. So that's not the thing that's holding them up. Just so we're clear. Right. Like, it's not because Apple's making you go through some ludicrous process to certify everything. You check some boxes and you wait, and then it shows up on your app, and that's the end. So I can see Google needing some help, but it's been like a month and a half now, I think it's pretty safe to say. From December 7th to January 22nd is, even with a holiday, with two holidays in the middle, like, that's a long time, especially given that it wasn't like Apple sprung this on everybody. Yeah, so we knew this was coming.
The quote I shared was back on January 5th, you know, once people were sharing this news and trying to highlight this issue, Google told TechCrunch that the data would be added to its iOS apps this week or the next week. And so as I wrote my latest link teaser, yeah, I was skeptical at first, but as the days turn into weeks, now I think it's fair to start giving Google some heat and start asking questions.
It's absolutely a valid thing to ask about. Absolutely. I'm definitely, yeah, I'm with you on that 100%.
Yeah, because like you said, it's not too difficult. It's just selecting checkboxes, because they already have this information in their privacy policies. Now it's just a matter of making it a little bit easier to read at a glance of what they're doing.
Yeah, it's with really these labels. Just making what the privacy policy says now correspond to the checkboxes. Like, that's all they're doing.
Yes.
And that piece shouldn't be complicated. That's the part that I'm sort of, you know, wondering about. So, anyway, so we've got that for, we'll say old business. And now, we have some new business, and that's, a very interesting bug in what we thought were very secure apps.
So speaking of Google again, but so this one is kind of a good story. So, like, to be fair to Google, maybe they're late on that one thing, but they are really good at security. So
generally, Google, yes, like Android security, like operating system level, they tend to be on top of those sorts of things. I will give them credit for that.
Oh, yeah. And so they have this they have the security team we've mentioned before. It's called Project Zero, and it's dedicated to finding security bugs in other platforms, not just their own. And so this member of the team, her name is Natalie Silvanovich. She found this bug in a bunch of messaging apps that lets audio and video be transmitted without any user interaction. Now, at the top, I'll say, all these bugs and all these apps have already been fixed.
Okay.
And these apps are Signal, GeoChat, Mocha, Google Duo, and Facebook Messenger. Now, it's a pretty technical write-up, but she says it seems similar to this vulnerability that they had already found in 2019 in a group FaceTime. And this bug let an attacker call a target and force the call to connect without user interaction from the target. And this would allow the attacker to listen to the target's surroundings without their knowledge or consent.
Yeah, not great. So,
yeah, it's a pretty serious bug. Thankfully, like I said, it's already been fixed. But it really sounds similar to that in all these other apps. So it's, like I said, it's pretty technical. I can't really explain some of it, but it's a really interesting write-up.
Interesting. Okay. That is useful. And I feel like the primary takeaway here is it's already been fixed. So if this is a problem that you've been seeing, it's already resolved. I guess you probably you're not seeing it now. If you were seeing it, you're not seeing it anymore. It has since been resolved, and they're now publishing and talking about it after the fact because it's already been taken care of. So that's good news.
Yeah.
Speaking of other good news, we're going to spend a minute and talk about Microsoft Edge. And part of the reason we're going to talk about Microsoft Edge is because For people who don't know, Edge is the new iteration of web browser from Microsoft. And and the engine at the core of it is Chromium, which is the same engine that's at the core of Google Chrome. So if you maybe don't enjoy the experience of using Chrome for reasons like it really wants you to sign into your Google account and it really wants to track all of the stuff that you do in your browser and really wants to make it convenient for you to give all your information to Google, you don't have to do that. You can use Chromium to do Edge to do all of the same things. There are other there are other browsers out there that use Chromium as their engine. Safari does not. Safari uses WebKit as its engine. But there's a lot of other browsers out there. There's one called Brave. There's one called Vivaldi. And there's a few others. And they all use Chromium as the insides that make everything go. So you don't have to use... If you like using Chrome, but you don't like Google, here's an option for you. And part of the reason it's an option is because now... Well, at least the reason we're talking about it anyway... Right, Andrew, is because they've added a new feature that might actually make it a more compelling option for you on your Mac.
Yeah, so this is some good news, actually.
Hooray!
And that is Microsoft Edge recently released version 88 of their browser as a software update. And it adds a feature that we've talked about before. It's really good for people, and it's a built-in password manager.
Hooray!
So this just means, you know, you can generate a secure password that is different for each account you have, and that makes it harder for hackers to compromise your accounts. Like, even if one account gets hacked, if as long as you have different passwords for each account, only that one account is affected, and it's really easy to just generate a new password for it. And they do mention it also scans for your passwords. I think it creates a hash of it, so it doesn't know your password directly. It's just kind of like other data that they can still match to it without really knowing about it.
Okay.
So they use this to scan for your passwords on the dark web, and if it detects that one of your passwords has been featured in a data breach, it will give you a notification, and that way you can update your password before maybe the hacker can try to take advantage of it.
Okay. And so the other thing, since we only have a couple minutes left, is that I think I joked about this earlier this week when we talked about it, when I talked about it with Charlotte, and that was news that broke about a week ago that we talked about on Media Monday that was going to bridge all the way over to Security Friday is that Google bought Fitbit. And part of buying Fitbit was buying all of that location data, because some Fitbits will offer location data. Not just location data, but like activity data for everybody. So this goes back to the conversation, Andrew, you and I had last week or 2 weeks ago about health apps. And what happens to the data that you have in health apps. So whatever sort of expectation of privacy you may have had with Fitbit, it might change with Google. Now that the sale is complete and we start getting the actual rollouts of these things, you will find out as a Fitbit customer what that looks like for you. So FYI, that's a thing. We should talk about it. And I know, Andrew, you have a suggestion for people who want to get off email of Proton Mail, right?
Yeah, so I don't really know a whole lot of Fitbit alternatives now that Google bought them, besides maybe Apple Watch.
Apple Watch SE.
I know there are a bunch still out there, but they're not really like popular brands.
Right.
But this article I wrote a couple years ago, I mentioned a bunch of Google alternatives with the software.
Okay.
So instead of Gmail, you can use something like Proton Mail, which is end-to-end encrypted. It's based in, I think, Switzerland. Instead of Google Search, you can use DuckDuckGo, which they recently got a milestone. I think they're up to 200 million users searching through them. which is congratulations.
Yes. Yeah. Yay, DuckDuckGo. I enjoy them very much, and talking about them today is reminding me that I keep meaning to go over there and buy some merch from their store, because that's another way that they make money. So I need to go pick up a t-shirt or something. FYI, you can do that. And a thing, while we're talking about like things I didn't know, right? If what you really wanted out of a Fitbit was a thing that counts your steps, if you put your phone in your pocket, I believe it was the 5S or the 6, started coming with a way within HealthKit that it will track your steps. So if you keep your phone in your pocket all the time and you go open the activity app, it will show you how many steps you're taking a day. And there are other apps that you can use if you want to track that a little more easily. There's a lot of pedometer apps out there. I think Pedometer Plus Plus was one of the first ones that came out. Again, like iPhone 5S, iPhone 6 era. So it's been a while now as I stare at my iPhone 12. But but the thing to know is that there are ways, if what you wanted out of a Fitbit was to track your steps and you already walk around with your phone in your pocket all the time, you may not need a Fitbit at all. Like, it's nice to have the step tracker on your wrist or whatever. But if you just want to know how many steps you're taking and it's not necessary, you know, just as an interesting note, if you have your phone in your pocket, it will tell you. So FYI.
Yeah, which I think is great. It's built right in your phone. Like you, I don't really remember which phone it started with, but it's kind of built into the health app. Yeah. So you don't need a Fitbit. You don't even need an Apple Watch. Right. Just keep your phone in your pocket and it'll just count your steps automatically.
Yeah. Like anything else, if you wear, you know, if you have a watch, if you have the Apple Watch, it will track your steps a little bit better. Because it uses the cadence of your arm swinging to help with the steps, which sometimes, like, if you keep your phone in your back pocket, it may be less accurate, et cetera. But you don't have to do any of that stuff. So that helps a lot. So FYI, like, if all you really wanted out of your Fitbit, you had one of those little plain ones that was just the little digital display that you keep in the little key pocket of your jeans or whatever, and you just want to continue doing that, your phone could take care of that for you if that's the only part you wanted. And then, you know, Google can stay out of it entirely. So anyway, that's going to do it for us. So Andrew, thanks so much for coming by. I love doing Security Friday. Like, I hate having to like unload a bunch of like terrible pieces of news on people, but I'm really glad that we're able to like let people know. And like today we had some good news, like this is already fixed and here's some things you can do instead. So that's kind of nice. I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.